1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong or be strengthened. Let all your things be done with charity, with the love of God, with divine love. Amen. And the Lord will bless that word to us this evening. That's not all we're going to get from the word of God this evening, from the scriptures. But it's something to focus our attention this evening of what the Lord requires of us and expects of us. You know, the church at Corinth was troubled by many a conflict. By many a conflict from without and from within. You read through the Corinthian letters and there are problems left, right and centre. All over the place. And sometimes you look at those Corinthian letters and think, thank goodness we're at Pitsea. I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I wasn't there at Corinth. What a terrible state they got themselves in. Look at the arguments. Look at the disputes. Look at the problems. You know, I want to say something about the Corinthian church that may not have occurred to you before. I believe the Corinthian church was a church that was on the move in the Spirit. Yeah, they had problems. Yes, they did things wrong. But they were on the move in the Spirit. Because they were on the move in the Spirit, it's the book of the Bible that we get teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's richness there. There's teaching there. Things were happening there. You know, when you move on in the Spirit, and you begin to move in the Spirit, and you begin to move in the things of the Spirit, and in the gifts of the Spirit, there'll be all sorts of problems. Because the enemy doesn't like it. He will make the church that is moving in the Spirit the object of his attacks. He will send in people to cause disruptions and disputes and arguments and such like. He will cause problems if he can. It's an evidence that there was something live going on there in the church at Corinth. You can be like the church at Corinth, and there are problems to be met, problems to be dealt with. But in the Lord and in the Spirit, they could get through those problems, and they could go on. It's in the Corinthian epistle that we get that verse, change from glory to glory, into the same image. Hallelujah. Or you can be like the Laodicean church, where everything's going right, everything's going smoothly, everything's going according to plan, human plan. And we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. It's all going smoothly. There are no problems. There are no heartaches. Everything's wonderful. And the Lord says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because it's not going on in the power of the Spirit. The enemy can leave that church alone. He can let it get on running as smooth as clockwork. But that's all it is, a machine running as smooth as clockwork. There's no power, no life-giving power of the Spirit there. There are no enemy attacks there. And so there are these tremendous problems. And so tonight, because I believe, as John said earlier, that the Lord is going to do a mighty work in us and through us. You know, as I look over the years and see what the Lord has done, he has done mighty things over the years. We shouldn't always be saying, he's going to do, he's going to do, he's going to do. We can testify that he has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And he will do yet more great things for us, which will surprise us. Praise the name of the Lord. He will do great things. But the words that we've read this evening are therefore all the more important for us. Because we know that if the Lord is doing great things, we shall be an object of the enemy's attacks again and again. And so the word of God comes to us, and he and Paul says to the Corinthians, as you're ending this first letter to them, he says, watch. Watch. Now, something which we don't maybe bother about too much, or maybe we're not aware of so much. And the Lord wants to prepare us tonight that we shall be a people who are watching. The word means be awake, be alert. We shouldn't be sleepy Christians. Again, the word of God has things to say about those who are sleeping. Awake thou that sleepest. And we shouldn't be, spiritually as it were, sleepy. We should be awake and alert. There is an enemy about. In the natural battles of this world, how many battles in history have been lost simply because somebody wasn't watching when they should have been? A whole battle can be lost because one person wasn't watching. One person wasn't at the sentry post. One person wasn't on duty. And the whole battle and lives can be lost because one person wasn't watching. And the Lord says to us all, he said it in the Gospels, you can read it. He says, what I say to you, I say to you all, watch. They are the words of Jesus. Not just ones and twos watching, but we should all be watching. Hallelujah. You know, even today, the great superpowers, in spite of all that's happening in Russia and the communist countries, they are still watching one another. They've got their high technology equipment and their radar screens and whatever else and their satellites in operation. They're watching, they're watching, they're watching. They're continuously watching 24 hours a day. They're on the watch. And the moment those little bleeps come across the screen and there are all sorts of different coloured alerts, they spring into action. They're watching. If they don't watch, the whole world could be in danger. You know, you look at what's happening in the world today and maybe those watchings will scale down. Maybe the Americans won't be watching the Russians so carefully in the future and vice versa. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 10, onwards, it says this: but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, they won't be watching anymore. When they shall say peace and safety, they won't be watching each other, they won't be watching for the Lord, they won't be watching for anything. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Praise the Lord. Let's watch. You see, as Christians, we're not on a sightseeing tour. We're not day trippers. Sort of looking at things when the fancy takes us and think, oh, that's nice, we enjoyed that, that was lovely. Now we'll go home again, you know, a Sunday day trip or a Tuesday night day trip. We're not day trippers. The Lord says to us that we should watch continually, moment by moment, day by day. Watch, watch. Why should we be watching? Because, as we've already said, first of all, there is an enemy. There is an enemy. When the seed was sown in the field, the good wheat, it was a wonderful sowing. The precious word of God maybe had gone out. And the field was sown with wheat. But then the servants came to the master and they said, you know that field that you sowed with wheat? There's weeds in it. There's tares in it. And he said, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. There wasn't watchfulness. An enemy has crept in unawares and sown the weeds. An enemy has done it. And there is an enemy who wants to keep the souls of men and women in this world away from hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to keep their eyes blinded that they shouldn't be saved. There is an enemy that wants to paralyze you spiritually so that you shouldn't be working for him. He wants to make a ruin of your life. He knows you're saved. He knows you've got eternal life, but he wants to make your life useless. He wants you to make a shipwreck of your Christian life. We've got to watch. We've got to watch. Day by day, and maybe this evening, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows my heart. And maybe he knows that we're perhaps not watching as much as we should be. It's not good enough to watch 12 hours a day. There's got to be a 24-hour watch. Day by day, every week, every month, every year, until the Lord comes again, watching. We cannot afford to slip up. You know, the sentry can be on duty for 23 and a half hours. He can be on duty for 23 hours and 45 minutes and just nip off for a quick fag for 15 minutes. And in that 15 minutes, the enemy can come in. We can be just off duty, as it were, for a short while, and the enemy will do his work. We've got to watch all the time. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 9, Peter says this. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And it's exactly the same word. Be sober, watch. Is the word. Watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. Watch. He's after you. He's after you. I think sometimes we live too, our lives are too comfortable. Like those in the Old Testament, at ease in Zion. There is an enemy and we do need to wake up to the fact. We've got to watch. Oh yes, we can take courage from the scriptures and say he is a defeated enemy. He is overthrown. But we've got to watch. We've got to watch for ourselves as well. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was telling the disciples to watch. Matthew 26. You know they dozed off to sleep. He went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he came back, they were asleep. And he went off to pray again. He came back and they were asleep. He said, couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour? Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? And in verse 38 to 41 of Matthew 26, Jesus says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he comes unto the disciples, and he finds them asleep, and says unto them, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there is another enemy, the enemy the devil, but the other enemy the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we need to be watching all the time that that enemy, the flesh, which has been dealt with, we are crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. But we've got to be watching that he doesn't sneak, you know, up on us, as it were. We want to be strong in the Lord. Watch, watch, watch. What thoughts do we allow in? Are they foul thoughts? Are they unloving thoughts? We should be on our guard. Tells us in Corinthians again. Wonderful message in Corinthians. You see, it's all in Corinthians. In the second epistle, he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he's talking about casting down the imaginations and the thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He says we can cast them down. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Watch. We've got to watch. We've got to watch all the time. What about our attitudes? We've got to be watching. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch. You know, sometimes we're taken up with so much of those fleshly, the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. Not so much now the sinfulness of the flesh, because as I say, that's dealt with, that's crucified, but we have to struggle against the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. We get tired. We get exhausted. Jesus got tired. We get exhausted. We get weary. We need to be watching all the time. And sometimes we think, oh, I won't bother today. It could be reading the word, just delighting in the things of God. It could be prayer. It could be fellowshipping together. And we think, no, I won't bother today. You know, the flesh is weak, too tired, had a long day at work, won't bother today. But you know, that's not watching. That's letting the enemy get a victory. Because as we move into that area that God wants us to be in, we'll find that the weakness of the flesh disappears. And we'll find that there is strength in the Lord that we didn't think possible. And we get to the Word of God. And although we may not have felt like it because we were so tired and so exhausted. Oh, I can't take it in tonight. I can't take it in this morning. Whenever it is, when we get into it, the Lord speaks to us. He strengthens us. If it's prayer, he strengthens us. They dozed off to sleep when they were with Jesus. We're not talking about people, these apostles, these disciples who are any different from ourselves. They dozed off to sleep. And you may doze off to sleep, you know. Time of prayer and it gets too much and you might doze off to sleep. Watch, watch, watch all the time. We've got a victory over this I can't be bothered attitude. We're the Lord's. And you know, when we move in these areas and against them, we'll find that there is victory and triumph and life. Praise his wonderful name. Because the enemy wants to use that weakness of the flesh to deprive us of nourishment and food and encouragement. Oh, I can't be bothered. Watch. Watch. You've got to watch over one another. We've got to watch over one another. I know this is a word that was maybe for those that were concerned for the flock, as it were, for those that were in the assembly, those that were leading and guiding the assembly. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul gives instructions to those who were from Ephesus, the elders at Ephesus. And he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch! Watch! We've got to watch the enemy, the devil. We've got to be on the watch for him all the time. We've got to watch in the matter of the weakness of the flesh. We've got to watch in the matter of the enemy sending in those that seem to be, as it were, angels of light, wolves in sheep's clothing, that the work be not attacked from the inside. Watch! And in Ephesians and Colossians it speaks about watching and praying, and watching unto prayer with all perseverance. Praying with all perseverance. That suggests to me, you know, that as far as the flesh is concerned, praying isn't easy. In the Lord and in the Spirit, it's wonderful. But the flesh doesn't like it. And so he says, praying always with, and watching unto prayer with all perseverance. Watch. Oh, let's be watching people. Goodness, the time has gone. That's only the first word. Watch. We've got to be watching. So I'll be brief. That's going to be a miracle as well. Because the next thing he says is stand fast. And this isn't being stubborn and pig-headed. I think some people in Christian circles and in... what can we say? What can I say without sort of going into the old sort of jargon? People who occupy pulpits in, as they say, the ministry. Some people have been just plain pig-headed and stubborn. And they've called it standing fast in the faith. Not yielding on this doctrine or that doctrine. That's not what is meant. You see, if we believe doctrines and such like just with the head, and we've got them all in our head, and we'll defend them to the last, and we'll argue to the last on every little doctrine that we hold, and it's just in our head, it will not last in our lives, and it will not show in our lives. And when the heat of battle arrives, if it's only in our heads, we will shrink away in utter defeat. It's got to be in our lives. It's got to be in our hearts. Hallelujah. And true doctrine from the Word of God, which comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that teaching from above will affect our hearts and our lives. Not just something we write down on a bit of paper and stick in our heads. Not something that we can produce 25 different verses for to support it. But something which the Lord gives us. That's the teaching and the doctrine from above, which affects our lives. So that when the battle rages, and when there are casualties, as it were, and when there are difficult circumstances, we will stand fast. Amen. Nothing will change what we've received in our hearts, because it's eternal. Jesus said, the words which I speak unto you, he said, they'll last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Hallelujah. And if we've got those words in our hearts, we will stand fast. We've got to stand fast. Stand fast. I didn't finish reading that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, and for a good reason. So I'll read the next verse now. It says, be sober, watch, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, praise the Lord. We can resist him in the faith. The faith which is in Christ Jesus. We won't desert the post. We'll be there in the faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Resist him. Stand in the faith. Not standing in your doctrine. Not standing in defense of what you believe. But standing in the faith. Hallelujah. Nothing will shift you. I think the Lord wants to speak these words to us this evening. Because if the Lord is going to move amongst us, there are going to be some hard battles. Oh yeah, we're victorious. Oh yeah, we're triumphant. Hallelujah. But we've got to know that we're in the faith. Hallelujah. And if we're in the faith, if we're in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, nothing will shift us. We'll be like old Jack Cornwall. I mentioned him some few months ago now. Jack Cornwall, he was 15 or 16 years of age, wasn't he? Dennis might remember because he's a naval person, you see. 15 or 16 years of age, and in the Battle of Jutland in the First World War, he was wounded, mortally wounded, just a young lad on the ship. And he stayed by his post, I think it was at one of the gun stations, he stayed by his post throughout the battle. Although he was mortally wounded, although there were shells whizzing around and bullets flying everywhere, he stayed. And because he stayed there, he died in the end of his wounds. Because he stayed there, he was awarded the VC, the Victoria Cross, just a young lad. After his death, he was awarded the VC. Why? Because he didn't desert his post. He stood fast. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. In the midst of the battle, in the thick of it, not deserting the post. The enemy can throw everything he wants at us, but we won't move from being in the faith. Hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. You know, in the previous chapter of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, verse 58, you'll recognise it because it's a verse I've read many times, but it sums it all up, you know. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, well, let's read the verse before it as well, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Nothing can budge us. Hallelujah. Not because we're pig-headed and stubborn, but because we're in the faith. Hallelujah. On a solid foundation. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Not a day excursion, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then it says, quit you like men. Isn't it unfortunate that the English word quit nowadays just means give up? Because it doesn't mean that. It means behave like men. Be like men. Now, sisters, you've got to be like men. Behave like men. Not in all those bad qualities that you associate with men, if there are any. But what he's saying in the Lord is this. You've got to be mature. Behave like mature people, and with that manly courage, with virtue. Now, the word virtue means having the qualities of manly courage. The English word virtue comes from the Latin word for man. It's having manly courage. Well, you may argue, and we may discuss the point about the courage of women and from now until whenever. But the scripture is saying something, that we can be bold in the Lord. We can be mature, and we can be bold in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're watching and we're standing fast, and we can behave with that manly maturity and courage that is the Lord. Because he is the man in the glory. Hallelujah. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, but in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 8, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's the same word here. Virtue. That manly courage. He's given us glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And it says, having verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That manly courage, that adult courage and boldness, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, charity, divine love. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're wonderful verses, and we can let them be written in our hearts this evening. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul has said to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak to you before. As adults, I had to treat you as babes. He said, even now I've got to write to you as babes. He said, come on, let's have some manly virtue. Let's have some adult virtue, some maturity, and some boldness and some courage in the Lord. Those words in Joshua are marvellous, aren't they? Be strong and of good courage. Meditate in my law, he says, day and night. There's watchfulness for you. He says, meditate in my law day and night. Only be strong and of good courage. I will be with you, he says, wherever you go. And with that promise, we can have all the courage in the world. We can have all the power in the world, all the strength in the world, all the maturity in the world, because he said, I'll be with you. And if the Lord is doing a work here in Pitsy, which I believe he is, we've got to watch. We've got to stand unmovable. And we've got to know that manly courage, that maturity in him. We may think, well, that leaves me feeling pretty weak and out of it. I can't watch like that. I can't give myself 24 hours a day to that sort of activity. I can't stand fast like that. The least little thing comes my way, the least little ripple on the surface, and I'm, I'm gone. I haven't got the courage to step out in faith like some people that I've read about and heard about and so on. I haven't got the courage to do those sort of things. Yes, you have. Because the very next phrase says, be strengthened. Be strong in the authorised version means be strengthened. Be strengthened. Keep on being strengthened. Be strengthened. There is a source of power and strength. The Lord doesn't give us these commands without the equipment. He strengthens us. Draw on that supply. Draw on that supply that Isaiah mentioned in chapter 40. You know the verse. The young men shall weary and grow faint and all the rest of it. The strength of man will give up and fail. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Strength. Draw on that strength which is from the Lord as you wait upon him. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Paul says that his prayer was that they might be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. They might be strengthened with might. There's a strength in waiting on the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So often we may feel weak and weary. Well, be encouraged. I said it already this evening, but I'll say it again. Be encouraged. So was Jesus. He's been this way before. And he was weak. He was weary. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was exhausted after a hard day's work. He was. He's been the way before, but he knew a source of strength. And when they came to him, having left him exhausted, having left him weary and weak and hungry, they came back to him. In John chapter 4, he'd been speaking to the woman at the well, and they found that he seemed to be refreshed and revived. And he says, I've got meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. He'd drawn on that heavenly strength. Let all things, he says, be done in love. Let all your things be done in love. Love reaches out to others. Love reaches out to the Lord and it reaches out to others. And if we're watching and standing and behaving like men, and drawing on strength from above, it will be because we are motivated by that divine love which is at work within. We will know that experience that Jeremiah had when he said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and not speak the word of the Lord. He says, there's a fire burning within in my bones. I've got to speak it. I can't keep it in. Why? Because he was filled with love to proclaim the word of God to others. Paul said, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. I've got to preach the gospel. I can't help it. You see, if we are being motivated by self, me, poor old me, we'll fail again and again. I can't watch. I get bored. I can't stand fast. I just haven't got the guts to do it. Me. I can't spend that amount of time. I can't afford that. I can't do it. We've got to know the love of God working in our hearts. That it's for others. And it's for the Lord. And when we see it's for others, when everything is done by love, then we will be moving out. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent. For you. That's something to say, isn't it? I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. In the margin it says, for your souls. I'll give up all that I've got for you. I'll be spent myself, all my zeal, all my energy, all my power, all my watching, all my standing for you. And he says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But I'm still going to love you even though you love me less and less for it. I'll still love you. And be motivated towards you. So tonight I would appeal to us all to watch, to stand, to behave like men. And you know what we mean by that. To be strengthened. Be prepared for what the Lord is going to do. Start now. You may say, well, I'm weary. The Lord says to you, watch. You can watch without succumbing to the weariness. You can watch. You may say, I'm wobbly, I'm a waverer. You can stand in the faith. You may say, well, I'm weak and wishy-washy. You can quit yourself, behave with that manly courage, hallelujah, you can know the strength. And so to the weary and to the wobbly, to the weak and wishy-washy, to the wayfarers, to the waverers, and all those other W's, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. It's made perfect in weakness. And if you're weak, the Lord wants to make you strong. Respond to him this evening. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And as we're prepared, the Lord will do great things. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Let's be strong in him. Amen.